great morning for UKIP so far, I have to say, looking at the papers.
Yeah.
I must ask you about this defector, first of all. He was a very senior guy, stood alongside you. He was, as it were, the Asian face of UKIP, showing it's not all white men who are angry and so forth. And now he's joined the Tories and said, vote Farage, get Ed Miliband, yeah. in effect.
I mean, look,
quite a serious blow.
We've been increasingly alarmed by Mr. Bashir's behaviour over the last few months. He didn't tell us the truth about the employment of illegal immigrants in his business. There are some
now
money...
He denies all of this, we have to say, very strongly.
Well, I'm afraid there's some quite strong documentary evidence and we've been investigating this. There are some big open questions in Brussels about money. And the final straw on Friday, a hustings meeting that took place in West Yorkshire where gerrymandering appears to have taken place. Now, that added...
I have to keep saying that he denies all this.
Well, he can deny that, but I say what he can't deny, and that's his continuing associations with political extremists from Pakistan, despite us saying, please, please, keep away. Whichever way we look at this, he'd reached the end of the road with us. He knew that. My only surprise, and my genuine surprise, is that the Conservative Party have accepted him, caveat emptor.
Well... buyer beware, that means for those who don't speak Latin. Nonetheless, it is a blow because he was somebody who was seen, as it were, as the prime example of UKIP not being all alike and so forth, and now he's gone over.
Well, you know, we had an action day last Sunday in Thanet to try and kick the campaign off that I'm fighting down there, and I was amazed how many members of the ethnic communities are there. They're standing as UKIP candidates in local elections. We've got many standing in a general election. I think this idea... this attempt to paint UKIP as a racist party is dead.
Well, let's drop racist, but there are hundreds of thousands of bigots all over Britain, and Mark Henderson, your man, says that UKIP is the party for bigots.
Well, you know, it just shows you the depths to which this general election is sinking. Tribal politics, the Tories, the Labour Party, their friends in the media, any attempt to damage UKIP. Now, I'm not surprised. I mean, don't forget, we won the European elections last year. We won two by-elections. We nearly beat Labour in a seat in the North. And what happened here is there are people in a pub, officers of the party, after a long meeting, in the pub, having a drink, and in this case, because we've been branded bigots by left-wing comedians, making a joke that, in fact, the late Eric Forth used to tell. Now, if you're expecting me to ban all UKIP officials from ever visiting pubs and smiling and laughing and joking, it isn't going to happen.
And yet, Mark Henderson, also the same guy, said something clearly not in a pub, because he said it in front of an audience in America. He said that the NHS was a terrible drain on resources in Britain, and he said it was the Reichstag bunker of socialism left. Well, and privatisation had to happen, and that argument had to be won. And you yourself have said in the past that you're in favour of an insurance basis.
Well, he didn't say. He did not say privatisation had to happen. That wasn't in the speech. Remember when he gave that speech.
He used the word privatisation.
Remember when he gave that speech, he was a Conservative. All right? And a lot of Conservatives were talking that way about the NHS, not least of which Dan Hannan, who went even further than Mr. Richardson went. So he made those comments as a Conservative, and he was very critical of hundreds of millions of pounds being wasted through middle management. Now, look, once again, we have a general election campaign being fought on American terms, where it's all negativity. It's artillery shells being lobbed between Labour and Conservative, and now, of course, towards UKIP. Can I be clear? We have had a big debate about the National Health Service, how it should be run within UKIP. And I'm acutely aware that Labour are very sensitive to this because it's Labour that did privatise large chunks of the National Health Service. So the line now from Labour is UKIP wants to privatise the National Health Service. The line from Mr Cameron is that UKIP want to privatise the National Health Service.
So let's come on to UKIP's policies.
Well, let's do
in the past, you have said that a national insurance system is something that you would favour.
What I said in the past was we've got to have a debate about whether the way they do health in Holland and in France is better than the way that we do it here. When you form policy, you should discuss everything. And we have discussed everything, and we have decided that the National Health Service, the bits of it that have been privatised, haven't worked. In particular, the PFI deals, where the hospitals now face repayments of £300 billion. Labour did this, and you'd think, to listen to them today, they'd had nothing to do with it. We want the National Health Service to be better run. We want it to be more efficient. We think it's ludicrous that middle management has grown by 48%. We think the fact that health tourism is costing £2 billion a year is wrong. And the fact that one in five of new nurses being taken on have to come from abroad, says to us, let's make sure there are no tuition fees for people that are taking medical degrees. We want...
But we all know that
we want
this
a national health service. Well, we want a national health service that is free at the point of delivery and funded through taxation. But the one thing nobody dares say is the reason we have an NHS crisis right now is because of a massive increase in the population in this country. And whatever
and
anybody tells you...
And they're getting older.
Well, they're going to be getting very much older, clearly. Mm. The National Health Service will need a lot more money in the years to come. So far, we've had bids and proposals from the Labour and Conservative parties, both of which would increase the amount we have to borrow every year. What we are saying is that we could put £3 billion a year extra into the National Health Service, and to fund that...
£3 billion is more than the Labour Party,
it's more than the Labour Party. We would promise an extra £3 billion a year for the National Health Service, funded out of the fact we will not be paying daily membership fees as members of the European Union. Now, that is...
So you can only do it once you've left the EU. You can't do it now.
But that's a way you can fund it without having to borrow money. Any proposal put by Labour or Conservatives would only add to the deficit, which I would remind people is still enormous.
And are you still in favour of people with long-term conditions like HIV not being allowed into this country because of the health consequences?
I very much take the view that it's a National Health Service, and to open ourselves up, whether it's to HIV treatment, whether it's to maternity services or whatever it is, to the rest of the world, doesn't make sense. It is costing us at least £2 billion a year. The National Health Service is here for British citizens.
Now, UKIP is, in a sense, an insurgency party. And one of the things that happens in insurgency parties is you get a lot of very angry insurgents inside the party who are then very difficult to control. Looking at the papers today, do you think you have, in some respects, lost control of UKIP?
Oh, goodness me. I mean, the fact that the party secretary goes and has a laugh and a joke in the pub, I tell you what, that's fine by me. The fact that of 24 MEPs, we've had one who we've fallen out with, and who now supports the inclusion of Turkey in the European Union, and who thinks that we should forgive the Pakistani government for their blasphemy laws. Look, you know, all parties will finish up with people they'd rather not have had in the first place. But that is not unusual, do you?
You are now facing a very, very well-funded, very, very well-organised Conservative Party across the country and the Labour Party. You have relatively little funds. You can't spread yourself very widely. Your realistic chances for the number of MPs in the next election must be quite low.
Well, we are fighting a target seat strategy. We've identified the seats in which we've got the best chance. They are generally marginal seats, and the reason for that is we take equally off the other political parties, and the Rochester by-election showed that this nonsense about UKIP votes being Tory votes, only one in three of our votes in the Rochester and Shrewsbury by-election came from the Conservatives. We've won the last two by-elections. We are going to win a good number of seats on May the 7th. Of that, I'm confident.
A good number,
how
more
many?
Than three or four?
A good number is more than three or four, yes. And beyond that, I'm not going to make any wild predictions, but we're confident we've got the right campaign in place for those target seats.
And with a good number of MPs, however that is, if you find yourself in the happy position of holding the balance of power and exercising influence, how will you use that influence? Would you join the Conservatives as allies? Would you join a coalition? Would you be outside as a kind of flying buttress to the Conservatives? How would you act?
Well, it's very unlikely to think of UKIP joining a coalition. I don't think the lure of a ministerial car is the reason that I got into politics
one
in
of
the
your,
first place.
One of your insurgent friends in UKIP says you want to get into the House of Lords and you're talking to the Tories.
I've never heard such rot in all my life. You know, I got into politics. I was in business before. I got into politics because I want to change things. And that's what UKIP is here to do. At the moment, between Labour and the SNP, they could be the biggest group in Parliament. We couldn't do any deal with Ed Miliband, all the while he's turning his back on a referendum on our membership of the European Union. We could potentially do a deal with Mr Cameron on this, but not unless the timing and the terms of the referendum were right.
Now, what does that mean? Because he said that actually on this programme that he would be open to a referendum before 2017, and you can see why.
Well, what he said was that it wouldn't be in late 2017, and the reason for that, of course, is that Britain holds the rotating presidency of the European Union for the last 6 months of 2017. So, once again, it's Mr Cameron choosing his words carefully. I want to know whether...
If I was David Cameron, I said, Nigel, tell me what you want from me in order to get the support of some of your MPs in this future scenario.
I mean,
what would you say to him?
Well, the first thing to point out is we're a long way from that. There are 102 days to go, and my focus is on getting as many UKIP MPs elected as possible. If then we come to that, I would say, I want a referendum, I want it now. I want a referendum with good rules, namely the spending limits for both sides are the same. And I want a guarantee that in this referendum, the only people that can vote are British citizens. Because at the moment, you know, there are 4 million or so EU citizens living in Britain who I do not think should be allowed to vote in that referendum.
Now, if you got all those things, and to your great disappointment, the British people voted to stay inside the EU, would that be the end of UKIP? Would it be the end of Nigel Farage as a leading politician?
Well, the Scottish National Party lost a referendum last year. They seem to have done extraordinarily well ever since.
Yeah, that's never the SNP, though.
Well, no, but it's a similar situation, isn't it? Because, you know, they've been going since the 1920s to try and separate Scotland from the rest of the United Kingdom. And despite losing, they've done well. Look, don't forget, whatever debate we're having in Britain about the European Union, events in Greece and across the rest of the European Union mean that very big change is coming.
Now, we've talked a little bit about your own future. Again, I go back to all those people from UKIP who seem to be popping up all over the place. Do you think you yourself, when you come on a programme like this, you're very affable, you're seen in the pub, not on dry January.
No, rather, quite.
We share that with your pint of beer, smiling and all the rest of it. But deep down, do you have a problem with some of your lieutenants and other people in the party? Do they have a problem with you? Is there something about the Nigel Farage style that's difficult?
Well, maybe I'm too soft. You know, all this nonsense that it's all very dictatorial. I had MEPs begging me to get rid of Amjad Bashir back in October and November of last year, and I chose to take the tolerant approach, and I was wrong.
Nigel Farage, too soft, too tolerant. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.